it's a wonderful time of year. I mean, if you're around, our society, as we know, seems to jump from Halloween to Christmas. Did you notice that at Target? I try to avoid Target. I haven't actually been to Target, but I hear that it happens. And I did see it at Lowe's, though. As soon as the Halloween inflatables went down, and actually even before the Halloween inflatables were down, they had the Santa Claus and the flip-flop inflatables already up, right? There's a wonderful Home Depot commercial on TV right now getting ready for Christmas. I don't know why I don't own any stock in Home Depot. I don't know why, but it's a wonderful commercial. You should go watch it. But anyway, we are in the midst of this weird time of year where we're all ready, but not yet. And you see, that reflects the kingdom of God. That reflects the coming of Jesus. That reflects the coming of heaven on earth, that a little bit of it is already here. You know, if we want to be honest, we kind of want to jump to the end. We kind of want to get to that time where there's no more crying, where there's no more weeping or gnashing of teeth, where there's no more hate, where there's no more illness, where there's no more death, where there's no more of any of those things. We want to kind of skip the line. But yet we as the church wait and anticipate. I was in an event over the weekend, and somebody was sharing an Advent devotion, and they were from the Christian faith, but a different denominationally, most likely, and they were sharing about how this year their church was doing Advent, and they were talking about it's this coming and this expectation, and I was like, yeah, right on, that's true, we're waiting, we're expecting, and they were like, but Jesus is coming, but don't worry, you can have Jesus right now, and I was like, well, yes, but no, right? I was like, sure, can you have Jesus at any point, anytime, anywhere? Absolutely. Absolutely. But why don't we just wait a second? Why don't we just hold up? And why would we do that? Why wouldn't we jump right in? And it's because as the church, as people of faith, there's a time of preparation. There's a time of getting ready. If you've ever played a sport, you've heard your coaches tell you to get your mind right, right? If you've ever had a mama, she's told you, you got to do your chores before you can go out and have fun. If you've had a dad, you've been told, I'll give you something to cry about. That's right, I haven't. Thank you. Thank you. Zeke said, I've never done that. Yes. Publicly. Take that. All right. But we have a time of preparation, a time of getting ready, a time that is already, but not yet. I find it interesting as I watch commercially what goes on. And I'm not one of those people who just hates that the Christmas decorations go up or think that people, I don't feel persecuted if somebody says happy holidays, like some lady in the grocery store the other day. She was so mad because somebody said happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas, right? But we have some work to do as a people of God. Now, part of the work that we do is working towards hope. And we're going to look today and we're going to read a set of scriptures in just a little while. Not yet. It's already, but it's not yet. In Jeremiah. And we're looking back on this time when the exile was happening. You see, Jeremiah's prophecy, we're going to look in chapter 33 today, and what he tells them happens in the middle of an exile. Part of the people have already been moved to Babylon. The temple is literally being destroyed in front of them. Their nation is basically no more. I mean, we think it's persecution when somebody says happy holidays. We look back on what's happening in Jeremiah, and they had something to worry about. They had something to fret over. And Jeremiah offers a lot of words of judgment upon the people. But in chapter 33, he has this message of one day. He has this message of what will be. And you see, in the midst of despair, in the midst of not being able to control what happens to you, because if we're honest, that's really the definition of despair. We don't despair the things we can control. We despair the things we can't control. The bad things that we can't control. And I don't know about you, but I got to imagine in your life, you've had an interesting relationship with hope. In my life, especially recently, I've had a complex relationship with hope, with tomorrow, with the next, with the future, with what it means, with what it looks like, with what it is and with what it will be and what it won't be and what it might be and what we hope it isn't going to be. But I'm not the only one who's walked that path. You have walked that path in so many ways in your life. You have seen people who have walked that path. You see, the preparations for hope are made in despair. A lot of times we want to jump straight to the hope. Is there anything wrong with having hope? Absolutely not. We want to have hope in the moments of despair, but sometimes we cannot hope yet. I don't know if you've ever been in that place. Have you ever gotten some bad news and somebody wanted to tell you how it was actually good news and you just wanted to tell them to get their mouth shut and get out of your face? Yeah, right? Because sometimes the best we can do is prepare for hope when we can't get to hope yet. And we do that as a church during Advent, during Lent. You and your life, your relationships, your finances, your health, your loss of a loved one. There have been times where you have experienced despair and maybe you could jump straight to hope, but Advent is a season for people who got to get it together a little bit and get ready and make a little room for hope in their life. Because that is what we were doing. Now, I am going to caution this. There is such a thing as fake hope. If we want to be a little bit rhythmical, we might call it faux hope. And fake hope to me looks a little bit like when something's going on in your life and you're in despair and somebody just tells you it's all going to be okay, right? When perhaps they haven't walked the same path, perhaps when they genuinely have no idea. And I've realized that usually that statement was more for them so they didn't have to take on responsibility in what you were going through. And I understand that to an extent. We all got stuff going on. But you see, real hope is earned. And I'm going to offer a caveat so you don't get mad and send me an email. I don't mean that faith is through works. That's not what I mean. I don't mean that salvation comes through works and we have to earn it in that way. But the people that who have offered me the most hope are the ones who have earned it and found hope at the end of a journey where there might not have been any, and where it resembled mine. And maybe you've had people in your life like that when you were going through something, that their words of hope meant something to you because your life resonated with theirs, like Elizabeth and Mary. We are a people of hope. We have lived in despair, and this Advent time, just like the prophecy in Jeremiah, which is a strange one as we get ready to look forward to Christmas. Let's be honest with one another just again. Let's just put up the Christmas tree and sing Joy to the World and light some candles, right? Like it feels so good. It's nostalgic and it's here. And that's what consumerism, if we're going to be honest, wants from us. They use nostalgia to make us do something now. We want that. But if we want to come to the place where we are going to be with Jesus, where we are going to be with God with us, where we are going to continue that ministry into the future, where we are going to fully understand what it means to have this babe handed to us in swaddling cloth and to love it and take care of it and nurture it so that it could become God to us. If we're going to get to that place, it takes a little preparation, like putting a nursery together, like throwing a few showers, like walking the hard road of life to come to a place where hope is finally with us. Jeremiah 33, verses 14 and 16 says this, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill my gracious promise with the people of Israel and Judah." And I got to imagine that they're thinking, well, let's go ahead and make that time now, right? I think that's normal. I don't think that's a problem. I don't think that's blasphemous. I think we all want that. What's that time of healing where everything is going to be okay? Well, we could go ahead and have that now, couldn't we? What's that time where there's going to be no more pain and no more death and the tears are going to be wiped away and we're going to be victorious? We could have that one day. That's so wonderful. I really want it now. The world is going to be made new and it's going to be the way that it always should be, and there'll be no more genocide, there'll be no more harm or hurt, there'll be no more injured children, there'll be no more calamity. Man, that sounds wonderful. I'm going to put that on my list for Santa this year. I want it now. In those days, verse 15, and at that time, I will raise up a righteous branch from David's line, who will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is what he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So what does preparation for hope look like? We think about the people in Jeremiah's day and the exile that is coming. The Babylonians taking over, the destruction of their holy place. What does preparation look like? You see, my friends, the time is coming. God says he will fulfill those promises. He will raise up righteousness, that we will be saved and live in safety. And Jesus tells us this in his very first reading from Scripture in the temple when he's still a boy. And then he tells us later when he starts his ministry, the very first words, "I have come to set the captives free." I find this unique thing about Jesus, that somehow Jesus is everywhere, but also just in one place. That somehow Jesus is universal, but also selective. We look at the life of Jesus, and he went to certain people's houses, not everybody's. We look at the life of Jesus, and he healed certain people and not everybody. We look at the life of Jesus and he chose a few and then a few more and then a few more to be his disciples and his followers, but not everybody. Jesus welcomed questions from some, but not everybody. You see, Jesus looked for those who were in despair. Jesus looked for those who were hurt, who were broken, who knew, whether they realized it or not, that they were looking for hope. Part of what it means to prepare for hope is to find those who need it most. Now, we inherently know that, whether we name it out loud or not, during this season of Advent, moving into Christmas, our narthex is full of that. Our support of ministries throughout the year as well as during this season is full of the idea that there are those who need help more, who need help the most. Now, is Jesus available to everybody? Absolutely. But read the life of Jesus. He goes to those who need him most. And when they call out and say, "That's not fair, you should spend equal time with everybody," he says, "False. I go to the people who need me most." Over the next 2 weeks, we are going to look at the Christmas story. Next week, we're going to jump in to Matthew, and the week after, we're going to jump into Luke, and then it's Christmas Eve. Did y'all know it's 3 weeks away from today? You better go ahead and move everything in your Amazon someday list over to cart and click buy now, all right? Because it's coming. It's coming. My friends, hope is on the way. And somehow it's already here. Righteousness is on the way, and somehow it's already here, but we still need more of it. Love and grace is on the way, but yet it's already here, but yet we still need more of it. My challenge to us as the church is to find the places that need hope, to find the people who need love and grace, to find ways to be God's hands and feet for those we saw Jesus walk with during his life. Hope is coming. Hope will be. And maybe you've already got it by the tail. Sometimes it's like a tiger, and sometimes it's like a sweet nap in a weighted blanket. But hope is on the way. We will be a people of hope. But sometimes you got to prepare. You got to do a little work. You got to get ready. Like Zechariah, who couldn't talk. He had to get ready for the coming of John the Baptist and of his Lord Jesus. My friends, we are absolutely a people of hope, but not fake hope, not faux hope, but of the real thing. And in order to receive that real thing, we've got some work to do.